Good morning, church. Buenos días. We're preaching about the second coming of Christ. I was last Sunday leading a discipleship conference, discipleship making conference, and reminding people again and again and again that we need to be aware that Christ is coming back again. And the question is, are you watching the signs? And now, because of technology, we are experts on defining and deciding the times for moon eclipse and sun eclipse, and you have tsunamis, and you have everything. We can determine almost everything, the weather, everything, the temperatures, but we're still behind defining and deciding and knowing and seeing that Christ is coming back again and the signs that we have. So today we're going to work on 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17, which is a very powerful passage about the second coming of Christ. It reads, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a command shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive." How many of you are still alive? Good. So when Paul was writing this, he was seeing himself as present, and that the second coming of Christ was imminent, and he will be alive when that happens, 2,000 years ago. So now even more, we have to be more aware. "Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." That's the promise. We will be with the Lord forever. So this is a message not to send people to hell, but it's more like an invitation and a challenge to create awareness of our needs to run to God, not from God. And my hope is that we start reflecting on the signs of the return of Christ, as Matthew 24 says, that there is rumors and wars and rumors of wars, and we're going to have famine and persecution and earth and earthquake. I mean, so many things that Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24. But one piece that is very important is when he says that in these last days, the later days, we're going to not only experience all these signs, but also the children of God will be handed over to persecution, and will be hated by everyone on earth for the sake of his name, and will be put to death. Are you ready for that? This is very, very strong message. And now, I don't know if you've experienced that, but that's what is happening today in the 21st century. It's becoming harder and harder to proclaim that Christ is our Lord and Savior. It's getting harder just for you or for any person to stand up and say, "I believe in the Word of God. I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior." It's getting harder and harder. Losing friends, losing job opportunities. People are now more aware and challenging more those claims that Jesus is God. So we have all these cosmic signs that Jesus prophesied. But one big piece here is when Jesus proclaimed himself as the Son of God and the Son of Man. That's a very powerful title that reveals Jesus' authority and Jesus' name and the fact that he was identifying himself with God and connecting with the prophecies of the Old Testament. So when Jesus claimed to be the Son of Man, he was connecting and positioning himself with Daniel 7, 13, 14. He says, "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, God, and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. In Matthew 8:20, he says, Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He was aligning himself with this powerful prophecy from Daniel. In Matthew 9:6, Jesus declared, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." In Matthew 12:8, Jesus also proclaimed, "For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." In Matthew 24:30, he said, "Then a sign will appear in heaven, and the Son of Man will be coming down from heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." In Mark 8:38, Jesus said, "If anyone is ashamed of me, my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." In John 3:13, he says, "No one has never gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." In Acts 7:56, he said, "Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing in the right hand of God." And lastly, in Mark 14:62, he was confronted by the Pharisees and he was asked, "Are you the Son of Man? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of the Blessed One?" He replied, Jesus says, I am. "And you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." At that moment, he was identifying himself with the God of Moses, saying, "I am." And then he identified himself with the God of Daniel, saying, "I am the Son of Man." So for those who said that Jesus didn't proclaim himself to be God, they are mistaken. The Word of God are clearly stating that Jesus is the Son of Man, connecting with the second coming of Christ. And as Betsy shared this morning, he's not coming as a baby anymore. This time, he's coming as a man. God is not only a God of mercy and a God of love, he's also a God of judgment. And we need to wake up and align ourselves with his message, his calling, and his mission. And then we're going to be ready for this time, which is the latter days. The latter days. So my hope is that when we read 2 Peter 3:3-10, we understand the times we're living in. The Apostle Peter was also teaching about the second coming. He says, "Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires." So first, we are in this season where people are walking away from the Word of God, walking away from God, turning away from the faith. Our love for God is growing cold. And the reason for that is stated in 2 Peter. He says, following their own desires. So we are experts about me and what I need and my dreams and my passion and what I need and what I want. And God is saying, you need to shift your adoration and your worship from yourself to me. And that's the only way you will be rescued. Run to me, not from me. And they will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming back again? We're not even preaching that Jesus is coming back again anymore. It's silent. People are silent about this fact. And it's a fact because we believe that Jesus came back and Jesus is coming back. We believe that he came, died on the cross. We believe that he died. We believe that he rose again from the dead. We believe that he's coming back. It's the same Jesus that prophesies about the last days. We're seeing brokenness in the world like never before. We're seeing hate in the world like never before. And Jesus is challenging us to remember that he's coming back again. And Apostle Peter is doing the same thing, People are asking what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming back again. Again, for Paul, 2,000 years ago, it was imminent. For now, for us now, 2024, even more. From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world has first created. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years for the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. This is us remembering, especially in a season where everything is fast. We have fast food, drive-through, microwave, and God is saying, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. He's being what? Patient. He's being patient. For your sake, for my sake, for the sake of the elect. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly, suddenly, 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 suddenly. The beautiful thing is that we have a terrible moment, memory, because it happens before. This is what it says. When in Genesis 7-9, God was preparing the earth. He found a man. His name was Noah. How many of you have visited the ark? I encourage you to go. People are coming around the world, and you're here like an hour ago, away. It will be a free trip, okay? Easy for you. Just go. Visit it. See it. Learn. Learn what God is doing, what God, and this beautiful thing that is happening around the world. And now people are coming around the world to see it. So when you see this, you're going to experience and understand that Christ is coming back. But before it happens, it happened before. It happened with Noah. And people were, you know, getting married. People were spending time with one another. And says that when the Son of Man returns, this is Matthew 24:37. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the day. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. This is Jesus talking. Are we ready for this? And you can watch TV, you can watch Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, whatever you're watching. This is the season. Now, like 2,000 years ago, preachers were declaring and proclaiming, every eye will see Jesus. And people were looking about, well, how that happened? Well, we don't have to ask that question anymore. Because for us in the 21st century, it's a fact. How many of you, I remember when I came from Cuba 2001 December, and September 11, 2001, people experienced, the whole world saw real time these two planes hitting the towers. Do you remember where you were when that happened? So this is today, When Jesus comes, it will be easy. Everyone will see it. Phone, tablets, media, everywhere. And you will remember. People will remember where I was when Jesus came. It's an encouragement. We need to get up. We need to believe. We need to walk in sanctification, walk in holiness, spending time with God. Spending time with God, knowing that he is also loving and he is also waiting and being patient. But it will be visible. It will not hide. It will be visible for us. That's an assurance that Jesus' return will be visible. My hope is that the church is ready, especially St. John is ready. This is what Revelation 19 11, 12 says, "Then I saw heaven open, and a white horse was standing there. His rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flame fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe deep in blood." What blood? The blood of the covenant, the blood of the saints after persecution. And his title was the Word of God. The Word of God. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. And he's coming back. Yes. He's coming for the elect. Yes. And the question is, who are the elect? And for me, when I ask people all the time, when Jesus comes back, do you think that he's coming for your church, my church, his church, for the Baptist or the Methodist or the United Methodist or the Pentecostal church? Who is coming? He's coming back for the elect. Who are the elect? Those who proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Those who fear the Lord and keep his commandments. Those who spend time in the Word and are watching, are alert. Those who are on guard, those who are courageous and strong, those who do everything in love. It's a challenge for everyone. When the flood came, God found Noah. When Jesus comes, who we will find? He's asking, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. He's coming from the lake, north, south, east, west. Doesn't matter what language, if you have an accent, or you are black, or you, doesn't matter. If you have Jesus in your heart, that's what qualifies you and me to join him in the earth. How many of you believe this? Hallelujah. 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 So that's my hope. My hope is that we walk with God. My hope is that we count the cost. Yes, persecution will come. Yes, you'll be hated by many people, by old people, by many people. You will be hated. You will be persecuted. Your friends will turn against you. Your mother and your father, the family will turn against you. This is why he says, count the cost, because I'm coming back again. Count the cost. And that's the passage in the Gospel of Matthew. Say, count the cost before you build the tower. Discipleship is a hardcore journey. There is a price. There is a cost that we pay. But the grace of God is sufficient when we are weak. This is what 2 Thessalonians says. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back step out of the way. Do you know who is the one who is holding it back? Who is the one who is holding lawlessness and sin and brokenness back? The Holy Spirit. Because God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. And Christ loves you so much that he died for you on the cross. And the Holy Spirit loves us so much that he's holding back evil. And now, the churches, the church, and many theologians, and books, and books, and books are talking about this, that the Holy Spirit, soon, day by day, is pulling back. And as much, and the more he pulls back, preparing for the second coming of Jesus, the more evil, the more darkness, more brokenness, more coldness. Are you experiencing that in the world today? We need to prepare. When Noah was building the ark, depending on who's counting, because if you go there, they say 75 years, other people say 120 years, 100 years, 85 years, based on the historical documents of the book of Genesis, the names, the places, all of that. But my point with all of that, which I don't spend too much time on how many years, for me, whatever years you arrive, 75, 120, or 100, for me, was more about God holding back judgment, waiting for people to repent before the flood. 100 years, 75 years. That is in the business of holding back, giving you and me time to repent, to think about what we're doing, to have to be aware of our actions, our emotions, our brokenness. And then the judgment will come. This is the application of this message. Hold fast to your faith. Stand firm in your faith, especially in the midst of these doubts and fear and skepticism and all this challenge to the truth, to the word, to the message of the kingdom. Live with expectation, but also as you go and you do your things and carrying out your daily activities, be aware, expect that Jesus is coming. When you get up in the morning, pray that you will be protected. Pray that you are aware. Pray that you don't go like the world, being swayed from here and there, just spending all your life in natural things, eating, taking a shower, buying things, investing, going on vacation, coming back, raising your children, sending them to college, then your grandchildren, and then what? Be aware. Jesus is coming back, or we are going to him, but we are going to face Jesus one day, sooner or later. Pay attention to cosmic and worldly events as a reminder of Jesus' words. So when next time you hear there is an eclipse coming, remember that Jesus is coming. Not only the eclipse. Remember that that's a sign that Jesus is coming back again. And I remember the last eclipse, I was on the road. I stopped to watch it, but then it was dark, and all the birds went to sleep. You know what the problem is? We're not birds. We know better. We have a higher standard. We are the crown of creation. We have wisdom to know that something is happening. Birds, they go with nature. Us, we can think and say, oh, an eclipse is happening. We can read the signs better than birds. There's an expectation that we want to do that. Live each day as Jesus return. Like the way, like if Jesus come back today, will I meet him in the air? That's the question. If he comes back right now, are you ready to meet him in the air? And the only way to stand fast and stand strong is by fostering community, coming together, spending time, reading the Bible together, encouraging one another, building community between one another, among believers, support one another. Let's read together this quote from Matthew Henry. 1, 2, 3. Christ will cast away none who come to him by faith. I want to say a prayer, and those of you who see, if you see yourself as a child of God, I want you to stand up. If you believe that Jesus is your Lord, if you see yourself as a child of the living God, I'm going to pray a small prayer, but I want you to repeat it after me. It's a simple prayer. But as your pastor, it's my hope that these words will come from your heart. I'm praying and saying these words, but if you are a child of God, these words will come easy as you pray this prayer. Say with me, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Thank you because you died for me on the cross. I believe that you are risen from the dead and that you are coming back again for me and for your church. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm going to say it again. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost. A hunger for the things of God. And a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now say it like you believe it. I am saved. Say it again. I am saved. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. I am on my way to heaven. Because Jesus is in my heart. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.